Lots of Hoosiers, especially those who live in urban areas, might tell you their only connection with farming is an occasional visit to the Indiana State Fair. They'd be wrong. Anyone who drives, eats, or wears clothes, and most of us fall into at least one of those categories, is inextricably linked to the agricultural sector. So listen up as we discuss what remains, even in the high-tech 21st century, one of the state's biggest economic drivers, farming. Hi, I'm WFYI News Manager Rick Dawson in for John Schwantes this week. On this edition of Indiana Lawmakers, we will look at the issues of Hoosiers' rights to farm, their right to photograph, and more. We will start, as always, with an update from Brittany Muncy with the StateHouseFile.com, a service of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism.
The first bill Governor Mike Pence signed into law saves farmers roughly $57 million in property taxes.
Indiana is agriculture.
The bill was a top priority for the Indiana Farm Bureau and other agricultural advocates. It postpones a change in the way farmland is valued for taxation. Counties use soil productivity data, crop yields, and commodity prices to determine assessed values. State officials are seeking to update those productivity numbers, but Republican Senator Gene Lysing says that's not fair to farmers.
Soil is soil, and soil in a field that you've owned since 1979 has not really changed.
Lysing is the author of the bill that postpones the use of updated numbers and requires Purdue University to take a second look at whether they're a good idea for the future.
If what they report back to the legislature November 1 doesn't justify the change, then I think you will see legislative action come January to stop this.
If higher farmland taxes are allowed to occur, however, local government revenue could go up and other property owners could pay less. For Indiana Lawmakers and the StateHouseFile.com, I'm Brittany Muncy.
Thank you, Brittany. Up next, big doings down on the farm on Indiana Lawmakers, from the State House to your house.
Purdue Research Park. Four locations, 200 companies, 4,000 jobs. Purdue Research Park. The idea economy is here.
Each spring, Hoosier farmers plant their crops knowing full well that their fate will be determined largely by factors beyond their control. Sunshine, rainfall, temperatures, and 150 men and women sitting in the State House in Indianapolis. Like Mother Nature, the Indiana General Assembly can have a huge impact on the state's agricultural sector, sometimes positive and, well, sometimes not. Our guests this week are Republican Senator Gene Lysing from Oldenburg, Democratic Senator Mark Stoops from Bloomington, who replaced Vice Simpson when she joined John Gregg in his gubernatorial run, Bob Kraft of Indiana Farm Bureau and very familiar with this legislative process, and Kim Ferraro, Water and Agriculture Policy Director for the Hoosier Environmental Council. Senator Lysing, let's start with you on the issue of farm property taxes. I heard you say it gets down, that soil is soil. Why is this important to you?
Well, actually, first of all, I should tell you that I represent seven counties, south and east of Indianapolis, and 93% of the property in this seven counties is ag property. So obviously the issue of property taxes is very important to me. Property taxes have doubled in an eight-year period for farmland from 2006 to what's going to be payable in 2014, literally 100% increase. What I have done this year, and we've successfully been able to get a bill that's passed and the governor has signed, something that's referred to as the soil productivity bill. The soil productivity factor is one of three components used in calculating the assessed valuation of farmland. And if that bill had not passed, farmers would have seen an additional statewide increase, 25.5%. So it was really important. And now this summer, it's only delayed it by 1 year. It was a proposed effort by the DLGF, the Department of Local Government Finance. So now this summer, the DLGF and the Purdue College University School of Agriculture will be studying this whole issue of soil productivity factor. It's been a constant since 1979. And so out of the clear blue, it kind of surprised everyone last year when they talked about changing it.
Senator Stoops, your thoughts on the property tax issue here, and this is the right way to go?
It's the right way to go. I think that bill passed unanimously because all soil isn't soil. I mean, there's quite a bit of difference in the productivity of each soil category. So I thought that was important as well. to have a better look, a closer look at the different types of soil and how each of those could affect a farm crop, so their value.
Bob Kraft, why has this been an important thing for the Indiana Farm Bureau for years? I've seen the signs across the landscape saying no more property taxes. Why is it important?
Well, property taxes are an incredible burden on farmland, on farmers. They affect the bottom line significantly. And it's a question of fairness. Property taxes pay for people services, not land services. And really, an acre of corn is not going to send nearly as many kids to school as an acre of mobile homes. Yet the property tax structure in Indiana is designed so that all property is paying toward that. It does not take into effect the cost of the services that are demanded by that particular property. And I do want to thank Senator Lysing for Senate Bill 319 and the effort she put in on that. And it was passed unanimously in both houses. I think it's rather incredible that in the House, the general rule that the number of sponsors is limited to 4 was waived for this particular bill, and 90 of the 100 members of the House signed on as co-sponsors, which shows the kind of enthusiasm and support there was for this particular measure, which doesn't mean there is not a lot left to be done in the area of property taxes, and hopefully the General Assembly will, over the next few years, look at the entire property tax structure. Certainly the imposition of caps a few years ago has changed the dynamic somewhat, and really the whole property tax system in Indiana ought to be revisited with that in mind.
Kim Ferraro, are you happy that this will still protect the environment by rolling back these issues?
Honestly, the Hoosier Environmental Council has not weighed into the property tax issue, so I'll defer to my colleagues on the panel to support or be against that particular opinion or that particular measure.
Well, we certainly have more topics that you'll be able to talk about.
Exactly.
Next, the Senate has been considering a bill stipulating that hunting and farming and fishing are, quote, a valued part of our heritage and shall be forever preserved for the public good. This is a response to protecting Indiana's multi-billion-dollar ag industry and all the businesses supporting it. That would become a referendum for Indiana voters in 2014. Senator Stoops, why do we need to take a stance like this?
We don't. I'd have to say that the bill, to an extent, isn't going to have a great effect because it is subject to state laws. I think my concern is more if it's subject to local laws. For instance, if communities are trying to keep confined feeding operations or the large factory farms with their waste disposal issues, water quality issues, and odors outside of their borders, I'm not sure how that will affect local zoning laws. But really, we have the right to hunt, we have the right to fish, we have the right to farm. I don't think anybody is trying to attack any of those ideas or rights. I feel that in the General Assembly there are some that are concerned that organizations like Humane Society and People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals have this huge organizational structure with billions of dollars at their disposal and a lot of people, and I don't think that's true. I think Humane Society in Indiana has maybe 1.5 full-time staff, for instance. Which is interesting because at the State House you have lobbyists representing huge corporations. You may have dozens of lobbyists that are representing some of these groups with lots of money at their disposal. So the idea that a couple of small organizations could affect our right to hunt and fish and farm over a period of time, I think, is a little exaggerated.
Kim Ferraro, tell me what you think about this.
Well, I would agree that the measure is not needed, but I would depart just a little bit with Senator Stoops in saying that there are a couple of issues here. When you amend the Constitution in this way, which is actually amending our state Bill of Rights, it's that section of the Constitution that enshrines our freedom of speech, our right to vote, our freedom of religion. And this bill, in addition to the right to fish and hunt, also creates a right to, quote, commercially engage in the commercial production of livestock. So In other words, elevating one industry over all others for very special constitutional protection. It is subject, the bill or the resolution says that it's subject to the laws of the General Assembly. All fundamental rights are subject to laws of the General Assembly. The difference is the constitutional muster, the standard that those laws then have to meet in order to be held constitutional. So you would have to, the existing laws that govern the way we produce livestock in our state would be subject to constitutional challenge if this passes. In addition, it would make it much more difficult for state and local governments to pass new laws.
Senator Lysing, how is this playing in your part of the state?
Well, and certainly agriculture is the largest industry in the state, and I represent a very agricultural area. So, you know, we want, I would say overall, my constituents want individuals to be able to continue to farm, to continue to hunt, you know. The actual Senate joint resolution passed out of the Senate and is pending a hearing in the House. Whether or not that actual resolution passes the House and becomes has to pass again to be on the ballot, I have no idea what will happen. But, you know, I think overall, when we think that livestock and crop production are so much a part of Indiana, the livestock industry has drastically changed. I would tell you that, you know, now animals, whether it's a hog industry, dairies, that they've all, and even poultry, everything is now in much larger locations. And so some people worry about that, but the truth is, I can remember 40 years ago in my area when sows, for instance, ran on hills and terrain, and when it was a wet spring, they rooted up the green. And, you know, actually now there's much less runoff, there's much less environmental damage, I would tell you, being right there and involved in the industry. There are always environmental issues. So.
And of course, we wanted to point out that this is Thursday when we're taping. Things could be changing. In fact, there are some things that are going to be happening even perhaps today and tomorrow that may change things. Bob, when this comes to a referendum, if it does,
yes,
is the key really going to be to make it understandable for the voters?
Well, it's always a question as to what the voters understand when they go to the polls. But I think that this is an issue that voters would understand. And I would say that I agree with Senator Stoops in that at the current time, there are no viable threats to the right to hunt, fish, or farm in Indiana. However, there are those who have as part of their agenda the elimination of meat from the American diet. That's what they have said. And this is sort of an insurance policy, if you will, to guarantee that that right is not taken away sometime in the future. I'd also point out that the resolution, which is being which has passed the Senate and is, as far as I know, no decision has yet been made whether it will even be given a hearing in the House this year. but that resolution specifically provides that the constitutional prohibition which it would establish is subject to the rules and laws passed by the General Assembly or to regulations and rules passed under the authority of the General Assembly. And I would submit that the Home Rule Statute authorizes local zoning, the local activities, which is an issue which has been raised by some of those who are concerned with the adoption of the resolution. Certainly is something that we in Farm Bureau will support, and if it gets to a referendum, we will probably be engaged in the public debate over it and try to make clear to the voters exactly what it is that it does and urge their support of it.
Here's a related topic. A bill in the Senate would make it a crime for anyone to secretly videotape or photograph farming operations on private property. It's known to some as the Ag Gag Bill, although Bob tells me it should be called the Videotaping Bill. It would prevent activities from exposing wrongdoings like animal abuse or worker mistreatment. Kim Ferraro, I'm certain the HEC has some issues with this one.
We do. It's broad-reaching. The intended purpose of it is to chill those very activities that have been so instrumental in revealing abuses in all sorts of industries, not just the agricultural industry. We've seen child care investigations, undercover investigations, reveal horrible abuse in nursery schools and child care facilities. We've seen these types of investigations in nursing homes with elder abuse. all industries, including the agricultural industry, as significant and important as that industry is to Indiana, nevertheless has its bad actors. And by punishing the people who are whistleblowers and eliminating their ability to do what they do so well is really going in the wrong direction, not even getting into the First Amendment implications of this measure.
Senator Stoops, why is this a good idea to make this a crime?
It's not a good idea to make this a crime. I'd have to say that as you pointed out, this also includes not just ag, but also any industrial operation. So it's very far-reaching, and I think probably reaches farther than other similar bills that are working their way through other state legislatures. Another thing about this is that even if somebody's able to take a photograph of an illegal activity, and we're specifically illegal activities, then they only have 48 hours to get this to some law enforcement officer or an inspection agency. And I actually researched this a little bit. I tried to figure out what would somebody do with a photograph? Where would they take it? And who's inspecting ag in the state? And it was difficult to figure out exactly. You know, Department of Health inspects animals. Department of Ag inspects grains, for instance, and seeds. But they only have 5 inspectors for all the farms in Indiana. Now, we just had a talk by a gentleman yesterday at IUPUI who worked for a peanut company. And a few years back, there was a salmonella outbreak tied to peanuts. This gentleman was fired for bringing to light some practices within the company and then once the salmonella outbreak really spread, he turned that information over to enforcement agents both at the state and federal levels and was denied numerous times. The only time it was actually exposed and dealt with was because it was exposed in the media.
And that's what I was going to bring up. If they're not taking these to a government agency to show what's going on, a lot of times they do end up in the media, and maybe that's how things end up getting changed anyway.
Well, just to add to that, there were 9 people died from that outbreak, and hundreds were sickened across 46 states.
Senator Lyson.
Well, I would just tell you that, first of all, remember that if there is a legitimate abuse on any farm, we want it corrected. Good actors don't want bad actors in the industry. Okay, so you have 48 hours from the time if you had legitimate footage or a photo to report it. And if it were hog industry, I would say you'd want to probably report it to IDEM, Indiana Department of Environmental Management, and you would want to report it to the media. What this bill does is it keeps someone from maybe the Humane Society of the United States from either pretending to be somebody they're not, coming onto a farm property, looking and taking pictures of things that are not going to be necessarily friendly to in a picture. I mean, just the birthing of animals and whatever can for some people would be very bothersome. So I think that, you know, what we have to do is understand that what this is about is protecting, in a sense, the right to farm legitimately, but not protecting bad actors.
Obviously, it's not right to be videotaping on private property anyway without
Correct.
Permission. However, what about if you have a camera, and I know this from having been in the media as long as I have been, and are shooting from a public place onto a farm? Is that going to be inhibited in any way?
You know, I'm not an attorney, so I can't say, but I'm assuming that and maybe Bob knows the answer to that, but I don't believe the bill addresses if the photo was taken off of property. I believe it's only that being on the property of the producer or whatever. And I do think we need to realize that we do have individual property rights. And for someone to aggressively walk into your yard and take a picture or into someone else's farm, I think, you know, we should be concerned in that.
Bob, your thoughts on that?
Well, I think there's one important point in the law that in the proposed law that hasn't been brought out, and that is that there is an intent component that needs to be proven, that the photographs need to be taken with the intent to harm or injure or defame the the operator of the facility. Also, I would respectfully disagree with Senator Stoops as to the time limit. It seems to me that 48 hours is more than enough time to report to the authorities. Now, the authorities may be underfunded, may not have the capability to react immediately, may not have the inspectors available, but nevertheless, the act of reporting the perceived misdoing, 48 hours seems like a reasonable time, particularly if the issue is one of alleged abuse to an animal. If that's the case, 48 hours is an awful long time to leave the animal suffering if that's what you suspect is happening. The other thing I'd point out is that I think we're sort of on the cutting edge of an issue that is going to probably surface a lot in the future in a lot of different ways, and that is the conflict between private property rights and the increased ability with the modern technology to photograph and post on the internet publicly, you know, what's going on with photographs that have been taken without the operator's and the owner's permission. I see this as a pervasive issue that's going to be dedicated a lot of legislation and legal activity in the next, I would guess, decade or two is going to be devoted to trying to resolve the conflicts that are inevitable when you have these conflicting capabilities and concerns.
We have about a minute left. Wanted to touch base with both of the senators on how you think the rest of the session is going to play out, agriculture or otherwise. How are things going?
Well, I think this has been a good session. You know, I think that there's been a good relationship, certainly in the Senate, between the Republicans and Democrats. And, you know, obviously the last couple of weeks of session are always the most intense. This year we're the budget year, the odd year, so we have to, by law, get a two-year budget, and we all won't agree on what's important. And so that will probably be the most contentious issue, I would say, that's out there.
Senator Stoops, do you agree? It always comes down to the budget process, and it's usually in the 11th hour.
It does. But I do want to add quickly on the anti-whistleblower bill that I do believe that an activity that's illegal doesn't become suddenly legal after 48 hours. I think that 48-hour restriction has to be removed from that bill. And I agree with Gene. I think the Senate's, and this is my first session, but I believe the Senate's worked very well together. I think everybody, to me, has been very friendly, very helpful on both sides of the aisle. I do have concerns towards the middle of the session when bills were passing out of the Senate. There were a few bills that I had serious issues with, the ag-gag whistleblower bill, the bill limiting abortion opportunities for women who decide that they want to have an abortion, for instance. Those are bills that pass through committees quickly at the end of that mid part of the session, came to the floor of the Senate quickly, and were passed out without a lot of discussion. And so that may happen again. You know, it's hard to identify exactly which bills those are, but I think it'll be an interesting next 2 weeks.
Still much work to do. Thank you. Again, my guests have been Senator Gene Lysing from Oldenburg, Senator Mark Stoops from Bloomington, Bob Kraft of Indiana Farm Bureau, and Kim Ferraro from the Hoosier Environmental Council. Thanks to everyone for the conversation.
Thank you.
Will reducing criminal sentences reduce crime and reduce prison populations? That's on the next Indiana Lawmakers. Time now for our weekly conversation with Ed Feigenbaum, publisher of the newsletter Indiana Legislative Insight. We were talking a little bit about some ag issues. What are some of the things that people ought to be paying attention to?
Well, I think one of the more interesting parts of this roundtable was the talk about the constitutional amendment, and we seem to be doing an awful lot of talk about different constitutional amendments in this session, previous sessions. We've capped property taxes through a constitutional amendment. We're talking about right to farm, right to hunt through constitutional amendment. We're really seeing a big trend toward that kind of institutionalization of those things in the Constitution instead of just in statute. And that's something that the legislature at some point may want to step back and take another look at. It's also interesting that the discussion of property taxes for the farms and the rollback as it were, you know, the continued moratorium on the farm and ag property taxes didn't really touch on the fact that other property taxpayers are going to have to compensate for some of the property taxes not paid by farmers. And the bill really did sail through. The first bill that made it through the legislature this session really did sail through without a whole lot of discussion of that. And I'm very surprised that that really was not a topic of conversation. And in the course of all this discussion, there's also some talk about some other ag issues of interest. The ability of Hoosiers to buy non-pasteurized milk, the raw milk from farms, and that was a kind of a controversial issue again this year. It's been debated in prior sessions, and it's another one of those individual rights issues versus a public health perspective issue, and that's going to be back, I think, before the legislature again sometime next year.
It's always going to be very busy down there, and it's going to be the 11th hour, as it always is, and you get to watch it from a front row seat.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks, Audie. Good to see you. For more information, visit us on the web at wfyi.org/lawmakers. Well, that concludes another edition of Indiana Lawmakers. I'm Rick Dawson, and on behalf of WFYI Public Media, Indiana's other public broadcasting stations, and thestatehousefile.com, I thank you for tuning in and invite you to join us again at the same time next week.
The idea economy is here at the Purdue Research Park. A powerful economic engine and a technology conduit from Chicago to Louisville. Purdue Research Park, the idea economy is here.